If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Micah, chapter 6. If you don't, we'll put it up on the screen. Micah chapter 6, verses 6, 7, and 8. The Word of God speaks like this as Micah records what God speaks to his heart. Said, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or the 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Verse number 8. He hath shewed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm sure all of us, whether it was in school or on your job, or perhaps you was in the military, we especially loved it in school when our teachers would give us an extra assignment. How many loved assignments? Bless you, my sister. We find that the military, I have a good friend that was a sniper and a sharpshooter, and they had to go out on specific assignments. Stay with me. There is particular jobs that has strategic assignments that has to be completed with a deadline. So today, I come to you with an assignment that God has given us that we so many times forget. You have been given an assignment. And I have 5 words to title my message with this assignment. And it says, "You know what to do." He's lined it out. You know what to do. The problem is, so many times we go AWOL instead of doing what he tells us to do. This world would be at such peace if we would just follow the outline of Micah chapter 6. There wouldn't be any church problems anywhere if we would just follow the assignments of Micah chapter 6. You know what to do. I don't know how many times you watch investigations, you know, those cop shows on TV, and the captain will give them an assignment, and he'll look at them and he said, "You know what to do." How many's ever heard that? You know what to do. Well, in this passage of Scripture, God tells us specifically what we are to do. And we are to live as God has ordained and has designated for us to live. God has given you an assignment. As we read through this passage of Scripture that we just read through this passage of Scripture, you'll find that there is a significance that we're going to come to later in Saul's life, and that significance is obedience versus sacrifice. You know what to do. Just do it. He said, "I have showed you what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee?" I think we ought to send this to Putin this morning. "And to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly before thy God." So I want to break it down to you today to let you know that there is an assignment that each of us has been given. And if I could repeat myself again, if we will simply do the assignment and abide by what God's Word says, there won't be any squalms or squibbles in the church. There won't be any indifferences, but we'll love one another, come together in the love of Jesus Christ, showing mercy and doing it right. you know what to do. So the first thing he tells us to do is to do justly. You know what to do, just do it. To do justly means to deal honestly and fairly in your business dealings and in your judgments, and do it with integrity. Now, I want to clarify something. We are blessed to have an awesome church. And I'm not preaching this because there's problems in the church. I don't want nobody to leave here and say, well, man, there must be problems in church where the preacher's preaching. No, we have forsaken what God has told us to do. As far as I know, there ain't no problems in the church. Okay? If there is, we'll bring you to the altar and we'll get it prayed through real quickly. And I mean that. Okay? So with that being said, we need to be reminded of what God's telling us. So we come together in unity. We come together. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have not fully succeeded in following the guidelines and the assignment that God has given us. You know why? Because I look across the congregation and no one's wearing a veil. You haven't been that close to God yet. I don't see anybody wearing a veil. It'd be good if we got close enough to God, wouldn't it, Brother Ronnie, that we'd all have to, yeah. I understand and know that Moses wore a veil because the people couldn't look upon him, but that was a distinct sign that he had been with God. So I want to tell you today, when you come to church and you got a veil over your face, we know that you've been with God. You guys are tough this morning. Hey, if you notice, most of the ice was melted away. Not all, but most. So let's have church. I haven't noticed anybody coming into the house of God walking with a limp like Jacob did. Some of you may be walking with a limp, but it's for other reasons. I want to follow the mandate that God has for us. I want to walk and do justly, to deal honestly and justly in our business dealings, in our judgments and integrity. If your cashier at Walmart gives you a nickel too much and you find out later, take it back. Literally, treating others as yourself and the way you would like to be treated. Living in harmony. Listen, this is a secret. Living in harmony with the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to guide us as we become so sensitive to His presence that we are able to even hear His faintest whisper. Because we listen with our hearts. We are to walk honorably, not honorably. Hello? How many walks honorably? We're to walk honorably with God and with others. You know why? Because God deserves our fully respect. Amen. Our full respect and our highest regard. Yes. Listen, you can do all the right things for all the wrong reasons. We don't do this because we are wanting to score more points with the Most High or to achieve favor with the Lord out of the extraordinary. But we are to do this to allow the world to see Jesus and to lift up and glorify Jesus Christ. We must learn to react to the Spirit and not react to the flesh. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, says this: ye are the salt of the earth. By the way, I brought this up in last week's message about we need to be in the Lord's presence. But can I tell you, it's going to be very difficult for you to be in the Lord's presence until you know what you're supposed to do and do it. Ye are the salt of the earth. That last statement deserved a lot more amens than that. But anyway, we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Salt has a specific purpose. It blows my mind that the wife can be stirring up a cake or something sweet and it'll call for a pinch of salt. Hello? That's because salt has a specific purpose. Ye are not only the salt, but you are the light. A light of the world that is like a city that's set up on a hill that cannot be hid. And he tells us, he said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that is in the house. Listen, you may say, well, my light's not very bright. But do you understand, the darker the outside is, the brighter the light will be. And we live in a dark world. And I want to tell you, you can try to fake salt. Anybody ever use that fake salt? Nasty stuff. You can try to fake it, but you ain't going to make it. You can try to fool God, but I can tell you most of the time, anybody can see a fake 100 miles away. He tells us in verse 16 to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Excuse me. Pardon me, I just had to have a swig. Oh, y'all know what a swig is? Okay. It's just before a swaller. We are to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How many's ever seen the series or movie Batman? Oh, come on. You know you have. And how many's ever remember seeing when Batman gets ready to come out, he shines that light up in the sky in Gotham City that has the Batman insignia on? Never did like that. It drives me batty. But all of Gotham City seen that the hero was coming. Brother Aaron preached on heroes last Sunday night. They all knew that the hero was coming. You and I are to be the light for Jesus Christ, that we shine His light, that the whole wide world can see that we're a city set upon a hill, that we have nothing to be ashamed of because He is the answer to all the world's problems. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is my soon coming King. We are to shine our light in the city of which we live, that the world can see that there's something real about what we believe. There is a light. Church, all this simply means that we are to be a good example. Was that a hard statement? It simply means that we're just to be a good example in all we do. In our homes. In our workplace. In all of our dealings with people. In the outside and in the inside of the church. You can fake it for a little while when you come to church. Where the rubber meets the road is when you are that meek and mild and spiritual man and woman at the home that you lead your family toward God. We are to be the salt that spices up our world. I told you y'all knew what to do. It's assignment. Just do it. We are the salt that spices our world. And to the world that lives and walks in darkness, we are to be that light that shines for Jesus Christ, that is no deniable, but that we are uplifting Him. For He said, if He be lifted up, He would draw all men unto Him. It's our responsibility, it's our assignment that we lift up the name of Jesus. If you're doing all of this just to make some brownie points with someone that you know or trying to make brownie points with Jesus, you totally missed the point and you ain't going to get very far, because we are to lift up Christ so that those who choose no longer walk in darkness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we are to lift up Christ So that those who choose no longer walk in darkness, but because we lift Him up, all men will be drawn to Jesus Christ. All men will be drawn to Him. We have been commissioned. We have been given an assignment. I believe with all of my heart that there would be a greater percentage of our world as Christians today if we'd live according to Micah 6 and 8. We are to live justly. Secondly, of all, we are to live and love mercy. To love mercy. How do you love mercy? To love mercy is to have and demonstrate kindness. Anybody can be a sourpuss. Anybody can be cantankerous. You ever met Sister Cantankerous? To love mercy. I got a feeling some of you are thinking already that he's got way too much time on his hands. We are to love mercy. Love mercy. We are always wanting mercy. But we first got to love mercy. It's to have and to demonstrate kindness. It seems so interesting to me that a God, being a God of mercy, where it is renewed every morning, come on somebody, ask that we ourselves be drawn to mercy and to love it. And through that we show mercy and compassion to those of us that is around us. Okay, I'm gonna throw you a curveball right here, so catch it, okay? In many cases, we are to give mercy out to those who deserve it the least because they need it the most. It's tough sometimes. But if we gravitate and we love mercy because we're thankful of a merciful God that has looked down upon us and has covered us with the blood of His Son because of all of our mistakes and our failures and our sins, and He covered us with His mercy, how much more should we love mercy and distribute it to those that probably don't deserve it, but they need it the most? According to the Encyclopedia of the Bible, mercy requires both an inward disposition as well as an outward action. Hey, that's good stuff. Have you ever met anyone with a disposition that, well, didn't match up to the scripture I'm preaching? Mercy requires an inward disposition as well as an outward action. In other words, we are to possess inside so that we can show it on the outside. We not only preach it, but we live it. Psalms chapter 112 and 5 says, "It is well with man who deals graciously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice." Whoa. Do I need to start over my message today? Amen. God has given us an assignment. God has given us an assignment, and you know what you need to do. Psalms chapter 37, verses 25 and 26 says, "I have been young." Oh, we love to quote this passage of Scripture, especially when we hit 65 and above. "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the uncompromisingly righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread." Reading from the Amplified Version. "I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Verse 26. We very seldom quote that with verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know why? Because of God's mercy. And David said, and then this is what you do in verse 26. "All day long they are merciful and deal graciously, and their offspring are blessed." Hey, this lets me know that when we follow the guidelines of the Word of God and we give mercy and we deal out graciously, we are going to be blessed, and so is our kids. And don't we know that our kids need that blessing living with us all these years? All you younger ones ought to say amen to that. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. But love your enemies. Do good to them. I just felt under conviction. We just prayed against Putin and all of his army. They're our enemies. God have mercy. But get them out of the place where they don't belong. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Boy, some of that went right over your heads. To lead them without expecting to get anything back. To lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great. You will be the sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. One more and then I'm going to go on. Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. And make the best and the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always filled with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We are to be lovers of mercy. Lovers of mercy. Number three, he said that we are to walk humbly with God. To walk humbly with God. Actually, what does that mean? Walking humbly with God and before God is based upon a heart condition in which we demonstrate the requirements that God has asked of us. Loving and acting on mercy and doing all we do in a justly manner causes us to walk closely with the Christ that has given us His all. Hey, I'm fixing to come to the climax of my sermon, and I know exactly where it's going, and I'm about ready to shout, and y'all ain't quite there yet, so I may have to start over with this message. We in turn engage fully in fulfilling the mandate of our calling that God has given us and that He has assigned us to. That is to invest. We are to invest fully in the healing of our world. There's people hurting where you live. There's people hurting where you work. And it's so easy when they get snappy to snap back. When they're disgruntled, it's easier for us to be disgruntled. But we are to do justly. We are to love mercy. And we are to walk humbly before the Lord our God. We are to engage fully in the mandate of our calling. It is to invest fully in the healing of our world and around us in mercy and justice. Allowing God, listen, allowing God to do open heart surgery on us. On us. We often pray for the other one for God to do open heart surgery on, or at the least brain surgery. When it's us that God needs to put the scalpel to. And I tell you what, this is good stuff. Even if I did say it, write it down with God telling me. I sat down the other day to do a totally different direction of Scripture. I wrote almost 2 pages out of Scriptures, and I was going a totally different direction. But God began to speak to my heart, and I just looked up from my desk and I said, okay, God, let's go. So you're getting it. This is where it's at. This is where it's at. We are to invest fully to the healing of our world around about us, allowing God to do open heart surgery on us, accepting the new hearts that He has given us. As we cultivate our walk with Christ And as He provides the power and the passion for us to engage the world that so desperately needs Christ. Amen. So desperately needs Christ. I want to go back to our text for just a moment. When I read to you that of what Micah was transcribing, what God spoke to him, am I to bow before the Most High God and bring Him burnt offerings and the calves of the new year? Am I to bring Him 1,000 rams and 1,000 rivers of oil? Am I to present to Him our firstborn for the transgressions of my sins? And then I looked in Samuel chapter 15, begin at verse 22, and I see the same thing basically happen. I don't know if Michael was recalling what happened to Saul in his short tenure as a king of Israel, but Samuel replied and said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the voice of God?" We all know the story for the most part of how Samuel and his army. Samuel was designated by God for just that period of time. It wasn't His perfect will, but it was a portion of that part that He gave to Israel, their choosing and their desire to a king that they chose. And as Saul went out, he was to destroy all the Amalekites, every one of them, men, women, boys, girls, all the animals and everything. He was destroying all. You know why we have to destroy all the things in our life? It's because they will turn us away from God. That was the whole point. But Samuel had something in his heart that he was a little devious about, and he decided that he didn't need to listen to God, that he would bring some of the best, and the king, he would bring him back, and he would give it all to God. Samuel said, "Obedience is better than sacrifice." It's exactly what Micah was saying. I can bring rivers of oil. I can bring all the oxen. I can bring all the sacrifices unto God. And he said, this is what God desires for you to do. God desires for you to live justly, to walk in mercy, to walk humbly before the Lord our God. This is what God desires for us. Oh my, what a revival we would have if we would come together and realize, listen, just because you lift your hands and just because you sing to the top of your voice, I'd like to ask each one of us while we're doing that, what's the condition of the hearts? Have we allowed God to do the surgery yet? Samuel said it is better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to listen to God than to bring all of these sacrifices of rams back, because rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft or divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Do y'all get that? Rebellion, arrogance. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, God said, I'm going to reject you as being king. 1 Samuel 15 and 17 says, and Samuel said to Saul, when you was little in your own eyes or your own sight, you was made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you as king of Israel. See, the problem with Saul, and sometimes we've been in church so long, Pentecost so long, we forget our beginning of our origin. The problem with Saul, he had forgotten his beginning. He had forgotten the origin of which he was called. He was sought out amongst the stuff to be anointed king. He forgot his beginning. His ability and his anointing did not come from a formal education. It didn't happen because he was of a certain bloodline and a heritage from his dad. Nor did he earn it from the years of faithfulness. But like the rest of them that God promoted and raised up, his anointing and his ability come from the Almighty God. And I'm here to challenge you today, church, that we can never forget the origin from which we have come, and the anointing that was bestowed upon us. Like Saul and Solomon, and too many others that lost their power and lost their anointing. And we could go just a few years back, and wouldn't be very many years at all, to where we'd see those that was anointed by God that lost their power and lost their anointing because they allowed fortune and fame and the enticement of the world to steal their unique relationship with Jesus Christ. Come on, right now is a good time to preach with me. We can be succumbed by fortune. We can be succumbed by fame. And like Solomon, we can be succumbed by the enticement. Solomon got to a place, he had so many wives, he didn't know which was which. And I'll tell you the problem in our world today, we seek things here on earth rather than seeking God. And it costs us, and it'll take away our anointing. It will take away what God has given us in our experience. Yes. Amen. I want to tell you right here and right now today, those of you that are single, you need to quit looking for what God can give you. And you need to start seeking for who God is. Well, that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? You need to quit trying to find your mate yourself and let God find it for you. You won't be so messed up then. Well, glory. All you married couples ought to sit, praise God, preach it, preacher. I ain't trying to be nasty. I'm just trying to tell you, we get off focus of what God has for us and what God wants for us. You younger ones and you older ones that have been in a transition in your life, forget about your mate and concentrate on God and let God move in your life. We must stay focused. Fortune, fame, and enticement. Whether it's men, whether it's women, whether it's money, whether it's fame, whatever it is, if you're not careful, it will absolutely destroy your unique relationship with Jesus Christ. So I charge you today, stay close to the Savior and keep your focus on Him. Listen to me, church, we're too close home. We're too close to home. Chris, would y'all go ahead and come to the piano? For the next 5 or 10 minutes, I'm going to preach to you now, okay? We often forget of the assignment that God has given us. And when things get a little bit hard, we get resentful. We get out of sorts. Most of the time, we quit coming to church if things ain't going like we want it to. Come on, preach with me now. But I want to tell you right now, God knows what's best for you, and He'll put you through the trials. Those that sign up for the army go in. They don't go straight to the battlefield. There's a training ground that they have to go through. Mm-hmm. God puts us through the training ground, and He knows what's best for us. So I want to tell you today in the closing of this, my message, don't resent it if you have to walk through the fire like the three Hebrew children. I said, don't you resent it. Don't you run and try to hide. Don't you call the fire department just because you're in the fiery furnace. You let God mature you. Don't be bitter if you find yourself in the pit with a bunch of hungry lions. Don't be annoyed if you feel bombarded with the rocks that was thrown at Stephen. So I tell you, stay true, my friend. God's got a higher purpose for you. You know what to do. You have an assignment. And all you do, stay humble, love mercy, and do everything justly with integrity and faithfulness. Can I tell you today, perhaps you need to find yourself a burning bush on the backside of the desert, pull off your shoes, and let the great I Am pour into you and tell you what you need to do next. Oh, glory to God. Can I tell you, maybe you need to find yourself a mountain like Moses until you experience the glory of God and it comes upon your heart and soul and gives you direction and lets you know what the rest of your people is supposed to do. Dedicate, sanctify yourself like Abraham. Hey, listen. Abraham dedicated and sanctified himself and walked to the top of Mount Moriah, and he put his all on the altar. He said, no, he just put his son. No, he put his all. He waited a long time for that son. Everything hinged upon that young man that laid upon the altar. Hear me, church. Hear me. God had a plan for the Jews. He did it through Abraham. And Abraham laid his son Isaac on the altar. He put it all on the altar. And some of you here today, in the sound of my voice, need to come to the realization you need to go to the top of Mount Moriah. And you need to put it all on the altar. You know what I found so uniquely about Mount Moriah and Mount Zion? Mount Zion is our king's home, right? Jerusalem. That's all in that vicinity. If you go to Mount Moriah and put your all on the altar, you're going to find the chief shepherd that's right next to you that'll make your life full of the anointing and the power to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. Dedicate, sanctify yourself. Go to the top of Mount Moriah and put it all on the altar. Or perhaps you need to be with Jacob and stay at the rock until you have a contact with that one, and you get up from that rock and you walk like you've never walked before. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31 says this: so then, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, do all for the honor and the glory of God. Would you stand with me all over the building today? With the scripture that I made reference to of Mount Moriah and Mount Zion, David said in Psalms chapter 48, verses 1 and 2, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no greater time than right now to say, Lord, will you pour in me? Will you forgive me of my sins? Will you cover me with the blood of Jesus Christ that I might follow justly, mercy, and walk humbly? Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know where you'd spend eternity, altars are open for you to come. And there's those that will pray with you, help you find Jesus Christ real to your heart and your life. Others, if you're here today, somehow you've grown cold and you're not where you used to be. Or perhaps you've just fallen short of what God requires of us. How many of you would just right where you're at, lift up your hands toward heaven right now and say, God, here am I need a total makeover. Hey. God specializes in makeovers. He specializes in makeovers. God, here am I. Mold me and make me. Use me, oh God. Lord, I need a makeover in my life. I'm not talking about just out of your mouth comes the words. I'm talking about, God, here's my heart, Lord, and I lift it up to you. God, will you give me a makeover, Lord, that people know that I walk with you, I talk with you, I feel your presence.